BlakeRadio.com.
Thank you, Super Happy Magical World Post Time Shows, with your host, Super Saiyan Mandel Rakazar. Weird voice from America Missy. Also, maybe including cartoon characters, Crazy Kane Loving Jackie Face, Grumpy Farmer Skin Color Allergic Spark Person, and many of our happy fun time peoples. Aussie German of Raw begins. Now!
I'm not afraid.
Yeah. It's been a ride. I guess I had to go to that place to get to this one. Now some of you might still be in that place. If you're trying to get out, just follow me. I'll get you.
You can try and read my lyrics off of this paper before I lay them, but you won't take the sting out these words before I say them. Cause ain't no way I'm gonna let you stop me from causing mayhem. When I say I'm gonna do something, I do it. I don't give a damn what you think. I'm doing this for me, so fuck the world, feed it beans. It's gassed up, if you think you're stopping me, I'ma be what I set out to be. Without a doubt, undoubtedly. And all those who look down on me, I'm tearing down your balcony. No way fans of us, don't try to ask him why, how can he? From infinite down to the last relapse album, he's still shitting. Whether he's on salary, paid hourly, until he bows out or he shits his bowels out of him. Whichever comes first, for better or worse, he's married to the game, like a fuck you for Christmas. His gift is a curse. Forget the earth, he's got the urge to pull his dick from the dirt and fuck the whole universe.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody,
the words from this song are kind of fitting as we ended Monday Night Raw. Just saying. Welcome everybody to another edition of the WTR Raw Post Show here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. I am, of course, Sir Rockin', joined by the ladies of the rack, Lindsay Ward and Jackie Feist.
Okay, Jackie, you need to make up your mind on whether what kind of kittens you want, whether you want cane kittens or you want mace kittens.
I want cane kittens.
Well, if you want cane kittens, then you have to get me cane.
Wait. How... we go, I was going one direction, you guys go another direction? What kind of cohesion is this?
This is what happens when I look at my Twitter right as we're opening the show.
Oh, good lord. Welcome everybody to the show. I had a whole nother opening plan for this show. I had music ready, and then I started the promo at the end of the show, and I had to change it all up, and that's what we got.
You need to tell us these things. Show prep, man. Show prep.
Well, they did it. And not, you know, show prep would have done nothing. I had different music for the opening. Okay? I had different music. And I'll, you know what? Screw it. I'm going to play that music right now. What was that hashtag again?
Hashtag Santino is champ.
That's how I was going to open up this show. Santino is champ. Santino is champ. We started the revolution, what, 2 weeks ago?
Yes, we did.
Yes.
And it came true tonight on WWE Monday Night Raw.
Despite the fuckery at ringside, it came true.
But we can't get there just yet. Somebody came in and stole the show for the first 15 minutes, and his name was Shawn Michaels.
Yes, and I believe he was assisted by Triple H.
He was assisted by Triple H, but goddamn, that was a great promo by Shawn Michaels.
It was.
Shawn absolutely sold that at the beginning and the end, but the way he was selling it in the beginning and the Hunter's face was just priceless.
You could just hear the cockiness in Shawn's voice.
Yeah. I mean, I was like, this dude is totally doing vaudeville. I mean, at first I was kind of watching Shawn's promo and I was like, wow, he really did the overacting juice today. And then you kind of saw where it was going and I was like, oh, okay. Well, yeah, but it turned out to be a really great piece of WWE TV. You can always depend on Shawn Michaels to deliver.
I could hear somebody picking up the phone in the back and speed dialing Shawn and Hunter's marriage counselor and telling them to get ready because here comes World War 629.
Triple H is a man of honor. He's an oak. He's all this. He's all that. That was just brilliant stuff. By golly.
Yeah, that was pretty good. I was just like, he's either gonna, I was watching, I was like, okay, he's either gonna like punch Triple H in the face, or I didn't know what he was gonna do. I was just like, yeah, he's gonna punch him. And I'm rather surprised it never made it there.
I was expecting Undertaker's evil mocking laughter to fill the arena, honestly.
Right.
But the point was, what drove Triple H to the match? What drove him? And it was, you know, they showed the footage. He wanted to see it with his best friend right there. That the Undertaker said Shawn Michaels is better than Triple H.
Yeah, that's kind of, that's kind of embarrassing if you're Shawn Michaels. You know, you went out there, you did your best, and you couldn't convince him, and, you know, the fans couldn't be convinced, and couldn't convince him. No one could convince him, and it took, Shawn Michaels is better than you, and that's what got him to the match. And it not only pissed off Triple H that bad that he accepted the match, but he made it a hell of a sell.
Then Triple H's retort was, has nothing to do with that. He's just tired of people talking behind Shawn's back. Tired of people saying that Shawn couldn't do it. Shawn couldn't do it. Shawn couldn't do it. So Triple H.
Shawn is a loser. Shawn went out at the bottom. I mean, it was just, yeah, it was bad.
It pained Triple H to look at Shawn Michaels as a loser. So he's gonna do it. He's gonna do it for Shawn. He's gonna do it for Shawn.
Well, when you think about it, Triple H is, if you want to say that Shawn is a loser and Shawn went out on the bottom, well, I do recall, even though Triple H was the only one who walked out of that match last year, he did walk out a loser just like Shawn did the previous year before. So, yeah, there's a bit of a pot calling a kettle black, just saying.
Just a bit.
Last year, Shawn Michaels said Triple H couldn't do it. Triple H has no chance of doing it. And he was right. And this year, Shawn Michaels believes he's right. He's going to be right again. And why? Because he's the special guest referee.
Who didn't see that coming?
There was always the assumption that whenever we talked about Shawn Michaels as a special guest referee in the Triple H Undertaker match, I think that assumption was always there that he was going to be backing Triple H.
No.
It's from people I talk to. I never heard anyone say, well, what if Shawn is neutral or what if Shawn is somehow on Taker's side? There was always the assumption that DX was going to be there to back each other up.
With the way that they were doing it and the way that initially it started between Hunter and Shawn, I always kind of had an inkling that Shawn was not going to be in Hunter's corner when they finally added him to the match. It was just the way that they were setting this whole thing up was it's either Shawn's going to be in the middle or Shawn would actually be in Taker's corner.
When you first heard Shawn would be involved, you thought, okay, they would be involved. Once you saw it on TV, you kind of knew they weren't going to be on the same side with one another.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. I mean, it didn't take too much of overselling on Shawn Michaels' part to kind of get you to realize what exactly was going on. So it kind of did change the layout of things.
Ustreamer 547054 in the chat room prediction. Shawn with Sweet Chin Music and Taker refuses to pin Triple H. Reaction?
How to say? Basically, it's just kind of one of those things where if something like that happens, that's something I don't speculate on too much because that's just a lot of drama in a wrestling match. And certainly Lindsay will tell you because she was at last year's WrestleMania. There's a lot of drama involved in these matches. And I mean, something like that is very likely because, I mean, there was like tears and oh my God, and what do I have to do and sledgehammers and everything last year. So why not do that this year just to bring the drama a bit more?
I don't picture Shawn actually getting the move off. I picture Shawn going for the move and Taker stops him. But, yeah, I don't picture Shawn getting the move.
He comes back. Then Kane will show up with a beard.
Yes. Yes.
Kane's not going to show up with a beard.
They've already resigned to the fact that there's no beard coming anytime soon. But
he's a fucking tease with it, and we know it.
But it won't be, you know, it would be, you might see Shawn go for the kick on Undertaker and telling Triple H to do it. That's where it could be, and Triple H will refuse to do it that way. I think that could be a moment we could possibly see in that match. Or maybe he'll do both ways. Who knows?
The linchpin will be what happens next week when all three of them are there.
Well, they really didn't promote that. They just promoted Shawn and Taker.
Oh, come on. Triple H is going to be there. You know Triple H is going to be there.
Oh, I know Triple H is going to be there. We all know that. But what they're promoting is, oh my God, it's Shawn and Taker. That's going to be awesome.
That will be awesome, but Triple H will interject himself somehow.
We will see. Overall opinion on this segment.
That was hard to top.
Yeah.
It's like you open the show with that, and you're sitting there going, oh my God, how are they going to top this? Because it was well done, very well done on their parts. Although I will say this, Shawn Michaels, it is called YouTube. Learn to use it. It will save much egg on your face.
Well, it's more realistic to get him to use a computer and watch YouTube than getting this man to figure out a DVR.
Hey, he's got a phone. He can look at it on his phone. If he can figure out Twitter, he can figure out YouTube.
Well, he hasn't entirely figured out Twitter yet.
He's still working on it, but I have faith.
We have faith in Sean. Come on, Sean. Learn the YouTubes. Learn how to use the YouTubes. You have a YouTube.
YouTubes.
Yeah, the YouTubes. Learn the YouTube, Sean. Learn it. Love it. Enjoy it.
Sean Ken has YouTube, yes?
Yes.
In fact, we know how to use YouTube because he's posted videos on YouTube.
Yes, it's YouTube. Yeah, you can go to theshawnmichaels.com and get the YouTube link.
I'm not entirely sure he posted those videos.
Shh. Kayfabe.
Sorry. Yeesh.
Come on. Sean knows
I'm sorry,
how to use
I
YouTube.
Remember seeing Shawn Michaels try to use a computer at WrestleMania 13.
Which is on YouTube.
Which is on the YouTubes, yes. And he tried to vote for Cyber Sunday on a computer. And he couldn't figure it out. Pecking away and trying to figure out how to vote. But it's been a few years. I think he's caught up. Even though it's in the woods, he lives in the woods, the YouTube signal might not be the greatest. But you never know.
He gets some kind of interwebs.
Oh, fuck. Oh, my God, dude.
I hurt you, Lindsay. You follow along so well. So we go from the YouTubes to the man who has his own YouTube show, Santino Marella, taking on Jack Swagger for the United States title.
Squeak. That was some awesome. That was great.
For a minute there, okay, you know, it's a Santino match, it's going to be like 2 minutes, you think, oh God, he hit the slam, it's going to be over. He kicks out.
It was funny, Jackie and I were sitting there watching this going, oh my God, what a waste. You know, it's 2 minutes, you know, that was such fuckery, and then it's like it keeps going and it keeps going, and you're like, wait a minute, I think he's going to win. Oh my God, he's going to win. Holy crap, he won.
Right.
GMs be damned, he did the shoving, the pushing, the yelling. No matter, no match for the Cobra.
As awesome as that match was, and it was awesome, I still have to say that watching Laura and I get carried out and watching him be thrown out was icing on the cake.
That
I hate John Laurinaitis. Yeah.
It's like, wow, Raw is so much more enjoyable when he's not on TV, and then he showed up.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, damn it.
So we have GMs going wild. We have people getting tossed out. But then we hear the announcement. Santino is champion. Santino is champion. And they're all celebrating. Playing the trumpet or trombone, whatever you want to
trombone
call it.
Which for Roxana, it's an advertisement of her services.
For once, it's not me.
So Santino is champ. Use that hashtag, please.
Yes.
Yes. Use that hashtag.
It'll make us so proud. No, no Milan miracle shit. It's Santino is champ.
Yes.
Just saying.
But tweet it at him, please.
Yes. Don't use it, you know, hashtag Milan miracle part 420 like some morons do. It's Santino is champ. Period. Can you see I'm in a feisty mood tonight?
You are.
That's my joke. That's my thing.
All right. Sorry.
You're full of piss and vinegar tonight, aren't you?
Sorry. I'm gonna call myself on.
Gimmick infringement.
I'm sorry. Sorry. Just, you know, fighting mood, okay?
Okay.
That better?
Oh, wait, no. Sorry. Ustreamer 490730. May I have your attention, please? It's worse than laryngitis.
Yeah, a lot of things. That, yeah.
Michael Cole, in general, is worse than John Laurinaitis. Because John Laurinaitis is at least entertaining in his stupidity. Michael Cole is not.
And at least for the most part, until this whole GM thing started, Laurinaitis' suck was only on one show. Michael Cole was on NXT, SmackDown, and Raw. And I don't know if he's on Superstars or not, but it's like this man's suck just transcends the whole company.
Yeah.
So.
And I quote, hashtag Santino is champ. Just needed to throw that in there one more time. Would pay money to hear Santino say, the champ is here. I would say.
Oh, give him time.
The sad thing is, he might lose it Friday.
Oh, I have every confidence he will lose it Friday, but the moment tonight was worth it.
Yes, it really, really was. So we go from Santino is champ to the Rock History Lesson Part 1.
Dude, how un-eco-friendly was that? I mean, seriously, way to promote, you know, being earth-conscious and everything, guys. God.
Yeah.
Well, he did say, you know, go into the water and go get the stuff again.
How are you going to get the gnome out of the bottom of the Boston Harbor?
Yeah, I mean, you're total waste of John Cena lawn gnomes and midget shorts. It's like, wow, really?
I thought that was pretty funny.
Now, I'm sure they had somebody waiting below catching the shirts, but I swear to God, I saw the gnome hit the water.
Maybe he's not as good a shot as he is a wrestler. I don't know. Even that's up for debate.
Well, seeing as much as he talked about his dick tonight, I'd question that as well.
Mm. So tonight was the start of the Rock Revolution. The People's Revolution.
Yeah. No. I was amazed in this whole... I mean, it was great. And what he did this week was a million times better than he did, you know, last week. Last week was just all kind of horrible for him. But ultimately, and we'll go into this later, but I ultimately liked the way all of this went down with The Rock and his promos tonight.
Yeah, the pre-tape was really very strong. He still kind of relied on his childish shtick a little bit, but at least it was stronger, it was better. But when we get to the Cena segment, it was not as strong, but we'll get there.
We'll get there, and I have a theory, and we'll get there too. But just on gnome versus belt tossing, I'm going with belt tossing. Rock's better at throwing a belt over into the water than a garden gnome.
Well, to be fair, he did toss the gnome over his shoulder. The belt, he was at least facing the water.
True, but you saw the bigger splash with the belt.
Well, yeah, because they were focusing on that.
And one thing about that promo, at least the first one that I will agree with The Rock on, is how sad is it that there is John Cena cologne?
Oh my god.
Can you imagine?
Oh, come on. You know the fangirls are buying that up like hotcakes and spraying that on their pillows at night so they can go to sleep with John Cena.
Why they get the John Cena the cardboard cut out, you put the cologne on him.
So where's the Kane cologne?
He doesn't wear any.
So I'm going to WWEshop.com right now, and I can't find John Cena cologne anywhere.
Yeah, I was kind of thinking. I don't recall having seen that in a while. Ever, actually.
It's probably licensed merchandise through the WWE, but it's not something they offer directly. Kind of like the alarm clock. I'm sure they don't offer that as well. Like, they were in Boston, so I'm sure they could find John Cena shit aplenty.
And then one thing that you learn, if you live in an area where there's a lot of bootlegging going on, a very large amount of scrupulous people will take something like a t-shirt or a bottle featuring some kind of nasty cologne and throw a John Cena sticker on it or a WWE sticker on it, a Tommy Hilfiger sticker on it, and people will buy it. So, God, that may have been some ripoff somewhere. I've never seen John Cena cologne.
And I'm doing a Google search, and I'm coming up with nothing.
It may have been a prop they came up with.
Must have been. They lied to us. They lied. And there is a John Cena wall clock, by the way.
But coming this Christmas will be the John Cena cologne.
It would have been the perfect gift for Valentine's Day. Get your loved one John Cena cologne.
I would dump a guy I caught wearing John Cena cologne. Just saying.
You can also get, John Cena tattoos. John Cena Tumblr. John Cena baby booties.
John Cena baby booties, oh my god.
Baby booty.
Well, the baby booties, honestly, any baby stuff like that, that's for the fangirls.
And you can get the John Cena charm bracelet.
Okay, that inspires me to Google worst John Cena tattoos now.
And, of course, the John Cena You Can't See Me parking sign. All available at WWEshop.com. But, all you want to get is hashtag the rack t-shirt at cbradio.edaboyzone.com.
Nice.
Plug. The rack t-shirt?
Hashtag nice. The rack t-shirt. Hashtag spankings. Buy it.
Do spankings come with it?
Spanking sold separately.
How much is spanking? And do I get to differentiate, who, do I get to pick who I get them from?
Yes.
No.
Anyone I want?
She says no.
She's not.
I say yes.
You're not getting Kane.
Oh, never mind then.
We don't have the authority to give you Kane spankings.
Okay, never mind. But still buy the t-shirt. If you buy the t-shirt, Lindsay will spank you.
I have a paddle. That works.
Wow, there's a 500-piece puzzle of John Cena and a 150-piece puzzle. Anyway, and there's also Cena Rock one, too. Anyway.
Do fangirls have that... Do 15-year-old teenage girls have that much money?
Their parents do.
Daddy.
I was gonna say, because Lindsay and I are both functioning adults with some amount of income, and I mean, where's our stuff?
Okay, y'all have to see this. This is just oh my god. I'll post it in the chat room, but I'm not sure which is worse, the tattoo or the underwear.
Oh good lord!
There's John Cena underwear. Are you kidding?
No, this is not John Cena related.
Oh!
Holy crap on a crap stick.
Yes! And just so everybody can see what we're talking about, there you go.
Man, do not get a classic winged eagle t- tattoo of the belt on your stomach. That ain't kosher, yo.
Wow.
That ain't kosher.
That's called champion for life right there, bitches.
That's, Jesus Christ, dude.
The guy's gonna walk up to the girl and say, the champ is here. I just don't see how that's gonna work.
Yeah, no, that doesn't work.
I'm not, props to the artist, but God, the belly button in the center is just awful.
Yeah, that's a bit, I just, you know, I don't have any tattoos, and I probably will never get a tattoo, but can you imagine, because Lindsay, you have some, how mm-hmm. much would that hurt, and how long would that take?
Oh, that's a couple sessions worth. As big as that is, because what you have to do is they probably had to go in, do the outline in the black and gray first, which would probably take several hours, and then they went back in and did the color later, I would bet.
I mean, that's
probably
bad.
Over two sessions.
That's as bad, and you know, for as much as people make fun of me, have you seen that guy, Lindsay, with the cane tattoo on his back?
Yes.
I mean, okay, I'm never going to get Kane's body tattooed on my back. I'm not doing that. I'm not getting any tattoos ever. If people think I'm bad, seriously, like, his whole entire left side of his back is just one giant tattoo of Glenn Jacobs. I've seen Hogan tattoos, and oh my God.
I know, the Hogan ones, that, yeah.
I've seen, the worst I've seen is Twilight tattoos.
Oh, for God's sake.
Just now, let's go back to this winged eagle mess of a tattoo. Just imagine when the guy gets bigger and his chest pops out more. And
yeah, that's why you don't get tattoos.
Especially on the stomach.
Yeah, if you're going to get a tattoo, do not get it on your stomach, y'all.
This
we
is
are
our,
all going
this
to be old one day. We're all going to have pot bellies one day. And that's going to look really nasty.
Yeah, we're just giving, this is our, you know, piece of advice for the week. Do not get a tattoo on the chest, in the stomach region.
Don't get one on the front of your body. Arms, legs, ass, back, okay. Front, not so much. And for God's sakes, do not tattoo your wife's name on your neck. Thank you.
Tattoo on neck equals divorce.
That was not a dig at all, by the way.
He's never going to hear it.
Watch, he's going to hear it now. Any time in my life I've ever done something because, oh, they'll never find out, they always find out.
Hi, guys in, you know, Connecticut. We know you're listening. Hi.
Who said it was anything about someone from Connecticut?
Oh, it wasn't about anyone from Connecticut, I have a feeling.
Or Texas. You don't know who I was talking about.
She was talking about her friend Steve. It's okay.
Yes. Oh my God, somebody has a Tim Tebow tattoo. This is what happens when I go on Google, people. We go off on a wild tangent. It's not even a good tattoo either, good Lord.
Okay, this guy has 15 minutes of fame and you're getting a tattoo of him. He's a terrible quarterback.
That's as bad as Hogan's immortal tattoo.
Yep.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
See, what would have been worse of a tattoo is if it was a picture of Tebow Tebowing.
But here's what I don't understand. Okay, as someone whose public reputation is honestly built around being a fangirl of somebody, I still don't understand why you would have a celebrity's name tattooed on you like that. Now, granted, maybe somewhere like where no one would see it, if you're really that big of a fan, okay. But Tebow's name across your back, Glenn Jacobs on your back, the world have you, you know, the old school WD title around your midsection, it's like, really?
Well, I mean, some fans are a little bit more dedicated than others. I mean, it's...
I guess so. Maybe I'm not as much as a fan as I thought.
Well, I mean, as far as getting a tattoo is concerned, you're getting something inked on your body that you're going to have for the rest of your life. So for most people that get tattoos, at least that I've talked to, they have some significance to them. They represent something. Like, mine represents something to me. And, you know, as far as sharing that meaning, I don't have a problem, but, you know, you would look at mine and you would think they were completely random. But mine have special significance to me. For everyone else that gets them, I'm sure they have significance too, although some people just get them to go, oh, I want a butterfly right there on the center of my back to have a tramp stamp. So it's, you know, you get them for your own reasons. So I understand why you would get it, but it's just, you look at them afterwards and you're like, really?
Really? And there's another Tebow tattoo.
Did you see the Bad Hogan one?
Yeah, I saw the Bad Hogan one. So, if you have a picture of O.J. Simpson and Tim Tebow, what do you have?
Oh, God.
You have O.J. Simpson and a white Bronco.
Frum-ching.
Anyway.
We had Eve in a match.
Nice segue. Well done.
You know, there wasn't a whole lot to the match, and Kelly doing commentary was a fail. So I don't know about any of you guys, but I would just like to take this forward and say, Zack Ryder, you are an idiot.
Yes.
This is why I do not condone the actions of women like Eve. But I'll tell you what, this is why I don't cry for guys like Zack. I use Zack Ryder, and now I'm going to dump him and use John Cena. And now, you know, a couple weeks later, now that you have the ability to walk again with a cane, he posted, oh my God, Eve Torres kissed me. Oh my God, I kissed a girl and I liked it. Ugh. Yeah,
I
idiot.
I kissed a girl and I liked it.
Yeah, all I can say is fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. So,
now, just a thought, Lindsay. We you and I discussed, I think it was either on WTR or The Rack, but maybe we were too quick as it relates to Santino Marella. Maybe we were too quick to pass judgment. Maybe we, you know, kind of overlooked him a bit too quickly. Maybe, just maybe, Ryder's playing her?
It's entirely possible.
Might be.
I don't want to believe someone is that stupid.
Hey, Jackie, have you ever watched wrestling?
No.
No? Well, no. Guess newsflash, people in wrestling are kind of stupid at times.
Well, yeah, but people in general are stupid at times. I mean, it's you know, I'm stupid on a daily basis. But it's just kind of one of those and things where I want to believe that I'm the worst of it. You know.
But, I mean, the problem with that is, and I get that, is that Zack Ryder would have to have a brain. They would have to give Zack Ryder a brain in order to be able to do that. And I don't think WWE thinks high enough of him to do that. I could be completely wrong, and he could be using Eve, and I would actually like to see that. If the folks in Connecticut are listening, I would like to see Zack Ryder with a brain and actually get Eve back, because that would be kind of awesome.
Well, if here's a bit of a spoiler alert. If you read the upcoming cards for matches at live events in the very near future, there's talks of matches with Ryder and Cena versus tag team X, Y, and Z. So it's possible we could have a reconciliation between the two, and maybe the Hoski gets left out.
Well, I mean, he did come out and he said Broskis before Hoskis, so it's very clear he does not blame John Cena in this, that he puts the blame on Eve, at least for right now.
I don't mean to interrupt, but we have a quote from the Twitter.
From the
Twitter. At Eve Marie Torres says, and I quote, "At least someone understands forgiveness. Welcome back to Raw at Zack Ryder 20 minutes ago." Hmm.
You know what? At least I'm honest about the fact that I'm a bitch. Seriously.
Yeah, I don't get, you know, again, I don't get how she's playing this. Because one minute she's being a bitch about it, one minute she's being regretful. I don't know if that's her trying to work people. I don't know if that's her being confused. But make up your goddamn mind what you're going to be, sweetheart.
Really?
Which one's the character and which one's the real you? Just
Speaking of that.
Oh!
I was going to let you guys save that for the rack, but if you want to go now, we can go now with it.
We want to go now with it.
Oh, yeah, the Kelly thing today?
Yes.
I gotta look it up. Kelly had a moment of clarity today.
Moment of clarity, a moment of zen.
I can't find it. But anyway.
A moment of intelligence.
She stopped being blonde for a moment.
Okay, so Eve Torres went on her blog and...
Who has a blog?
Eve Torres, she has a blog on her website, and she went on out of character, I guess, and said, you know, I'm playing a role, I appreciate everyone who's still with me, you know, blah, blah, blah. Kelly, the person who does not know the difference between sun, the big thingy in the sky, and sun, your biological male child, goes on Twitter and says, oh, you are just playing, so you're really not using people? And I'm just like, oh my god.
Now, this will get, you know, a little insider for, you know, people who, you know, roleplay. So her comments sometimes are hashtag OOC and sometimes in character.
She does the same shit Michelle McCool does.
Just saying.
Like, I feel so helpless that she does this shit. And when I laugh at her and when I call her out on it, I am made to look bad. I am not the sharpest knife in the drawer, and I am not the most, I'm not as pretty as her, and I'm jealous of her or whatever, but come on, cut me some slack. That's baiting me right there, and that's not fair. That's almost harder to resist than, like, Kane. I mean, if you give me Kane or give me a shot at Kelly when it's that blatant, I don't know which one I would choose.
You would take Kane.
Probably, but I'm just, you know.
Steering the ship back. No one's around. No one's watching. No one's in the building. It's just John Cena, a glowing WrestleMania sign and his thoughts.
And his knee
pads. Which are kind of depressing.
I still want to know why he's wearing his knee pads in that video.
He wears them all the time. That's how he walks around in public.
You gotta
just like
live.
Kane. Just like Kane rocks the tights everywhere he goes, John Cena rocks the shorts and the knee pads.
Gotta live the gimmick. It's the gimmick. It's what you do. Anyway, Cena, serious Cena, says The Rock's the most successful wrestler there's ever been in WWE. He's gone on to do some big things outside of WWE and wasn't coming back until he accomplished it on his own.
Don't even get me started.
He then talks about Boston, being from Boston. Boston used to be known for heartbreak, and now it's known about champions. And for this, for John Cena, this is it. Nothing else. He's got to win. As you will never remember who came in second place.
I like to point out to Cena that if he wants to upstage The Rock, face Taker next year at WrestleMania and take the streak. That'll put you over everybody.
Yeah, and that's something is for someone who's done everything magically. It took about 2 seconds to think of something he's never done to date.
So with that, out of the way. They will make history at WrestleMania. But up next, we were watching Monday Night Raw, and a wrestling match broke out.
Wow.
Really?
Really.
Wow!
In the form of WWE Champion CM Punk teaming with Sheamus to take on World Champion Daniel Bryan and Chris Jericho.
Can I just say that if AJ Lee is going to come out at ringside and simply hold down the floor, she can do that backstage perfectly fine. I mean, my God, don't just stand there. Actually do something, sweetheart.
Yeah, that's kind of my thing. It's like, you know, I totally approve of finding ways to get the divas on TV, you know, more, especially since most of them can't wrestle for anything. Getting them out there in a manager role is great. In a supporting role is great. Show her a video of Bobby Heenan or something. I mean, her feet were nailed to the floor. She didn't move at all. There was a shot towards the end where, you know, Punk was selling his back and he's on the top ring rope, you know, selling his back and trying to stand up. I'm like, now would be a time to get up and grab the top rope and shake it if he's going to drop an elbow on your man. I'm just saying. And she just stood there screaming, get up, Ray, get up! I'm like, oh my God, someone just get rid of her.
She looked bored through most of the match, actually.
Well, there was no video game out there for her to play.
Yeah, well, so that's... not impressed, by the way.
She should have a Daniel Bryan controller by now. I mean, she just sits there and she hits the A plus B combination and he gets up and, you know...
Yes, I saw her little post on Twitter. Oh, I spent 20 hours playing The Sims 3. I'm like, I just spent 25 hours playing the DCU MMORPG. So, yeah, not impressed.
Hey, GameOnGames.net, make a
Daniel Bryan... Make a controller.
A cane controller and a Daniel Bryan controller. There are, you know, recommendations for you. Just saying.
And a Taker controller.
There's a Taker Wii charger station.
I know... I wish I had a Wii.
And I had one, too, and I got rid of it and then, like, found out about that the next week. I was like, God damn it, I would have kept the Wii just to have the Undertaker charger station.
But anyway, back to the match.
Back to the wrestling match on a wrestling show.
Why are you trying to mess up Raw with a wrestling match?
It's crazy booking. They're trying something new.
I will say this, I liked the way they began the match. I liked how Punk and Jericho tried to out-wrestle each other. I thought that was a great exchange between the two in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, as far as Bryan and Sheamus, when he suspends those guys over the rope and he just thumps on their chest.
God.
That looks just awful. I'm sure it's not really, but God, he just makes that look completely terrible.
I know. When I went to the last live event I went to, he got really pissed and did that so much for so long on the rope to, I forget who he was wrestling, but he got himself counted out or disqualified or something because he wouldn't stop what he was doing. He did it for like 15 seconds and I'm like, I hope his opponent can breathe. That just looks awful.
I mean, I'm not sure which is worse, that or a chop from like Big Show.
Where he goes, shh.
Yeah, I love it when he does that.
Yeah.
That's a win.
Where he damn near takes your nipple off.
And
I don't know. Big Show's never almost taken my nipple off, so I couldn't say.
And if we listened to last night, I don't think he'll ever get the chance to. Just, you know, since you want to kill him and all.
Well, it was him or Kane.
Him, Kane, or Kevin Nash. And you chose to kill the Big Show. Anyway, the result of the match...
I'm so not even gonna... Okay, yeah.
I'm transitioning. The result of the match saw Chris Jericho reverse the small package and take the win.
Which was a great finish.
Yeah, I was telling Lindsay all through the match, oh, there's not going to be a clean winner. They're not going to make anyone look weak. They're going to find a way to get something. And then there was actually a clean winner. I was like, wow, I stand corrected.
Couldn't believe it.
And the look on Punk's face told the entire story.
Yeah.
I mean, they did an excellent job of selling that. But did anybody catch the cult of personality sign?
I did.
At ringside.
I was big on Twitter, apparently. People were talking about it. From what I was saying. But yes, we had...
It was trending at one point.
The heels won, and my co-host is distracted. Which brings us to Rock History Part 2.
I have to give Rock credit. He got Paul Revere trending on Twitter. Well done, sir.
Bravo. Yeah. Bravo. Bravo. And he ended the Rock History after he talks about he's half man or part half, man and half horse.
He's 25% black, 25% Samoan, and 50% Clydesdale.
So he's a centaur now.
The ending saw him say, stuck a feather up his ass and called him a jabroni.
That was hilarious. And I have to give Rock credit on that. There are people on my Twitter feed who hate The Rock more than I do, and they LOL, just saying. That was good. That was old school Rock. It's not that stupid Kung Pao bitch resorting to the B word every few minutes because you've got nothing better to say. That segment was good.
The Miz then came out and got destroyed.
I think they're still scraping him off the mat, actually.
Clean up on aisle 2.
Yeah, basically the Miz job tonight.
Who did he piss off so goddamn bad?
The same person Natty pissed off. I don't know who that is, but I'm pretty sure it's the same person Natalya pissed off.
Natty didn't piss off anyone. She farted on somebody, and that's where it all began.
Okay, it was a fart, not some piss. I'm sorry. Either way, she upset somebody, and I'm pretty sure that at some point the Miz came to her defense, and now they're both buried.
6 feet under.
In Texas. But before the match even started, we saw live from New York, it's the Big Show at WrestleMania 18.
Woo!
WrestleMania 18, and I'm at WWE New York.
Yeah, woo! That would be my reaction, too.
Pause for reaction. Okay.
There's nothing else really to say. Sorry, Miz.
So sorry, looks like you're not gonna be... Oh, hi. You're not gonna be,
You're just now noticing that?
I just now was able to log into my Twitter on my computer. I access it on my phone. I don't access it on my computer.
Anyway.
Steering back on track.
Anyway, yeah, so I'm very hopeful... as a longtime mark for the Big Show, that he'll have a good show this year. I mean, he's like, what, 2-0 or 3-0 at WrestleMania?
He's the anti-taker.
Right. And I'm just like, you know what? Okay, yes, it is true, show lost to Money, but Money was wearing some brass knuckles, I'm just saying. I mean, anybody would have gone down to a pair of brass knuckles.
Explain the sumo bit, then.
That was unfortunate booking. Think about it. Okay, if you're gonna put someone the size of the Big Show in that thing, they cover Dolph Ziggler's ass with a t-shirt every week, and it's a nice ass. Could we not have put something over Show?
Yokozuna put something over his ass.
Just saying.
That's all I'm saying. You know, they could have at least done something. I mean, I get they were trying to go traditional, but yeah, no. Somebody should have looked at him and been like, yeah, that's a fail. We need to fix that.
And, you know, and seriously, big ups to show for being a good sport and going along with that, that you know that had to be embarrassing for him. He took one for the team, as they say, and now it's come around to, I was going to say bite him in the ass, but oh my God. But it's come around to
that would
him.
Be a big ass if it got bitten. Just.
But yeah, that's unfortunate, and after all these years, I didn't need to see that again.
Yeah. I could have lived without seeing that, especially seeing as I was eating at the time that I saw it again. I mean, just, I had a perfectly lovely dinner, and I couldn't finish it because of that. So, thank you, WWE.
But he won last year, so it's all good. It's okay. He'll maybe go for two in a row this year.
Yeah, that would be nice.
He's going to try, but I very much doubt he will. They're pushing Rhodes pretty hard, so we'll see.
And now, back to more rock history. By this point, it kind of got old, kind of, but...
Yeah.
It kind of got old, but... The whole thing was, it was like, it was very video heavy tonight, it felt like. There weren't a lot of matches, obviously. Very video heavy, so I don't know if they're starting to save people for WrestleMania. I don't know what the deal is there, but yeah, it just.
Well, they can't do anything with their two top matches physically, so they have to throw videos and promos in there. Because they're not going to put those four guys in any sort of.
But yeah, I mean, having three rock promos that were at least, what, 5 to 10 minutes a piece spaced throughout your show, and then on top of that you have Rock Cena in the last 5 to 10 minutes of the show, plus the minimal overrun they had tonight, that was a little much. And the Cena promo as well, which took time. It ate up a lot of the show.
I also kind of have to wonder, I honestly, you know, I'm not the world's biggest John Cena fan. I've always heard him being billed from Newberry, so I always assumed that was where he was from. So to now hear that he was from Boston, you kind of hoped, even though you never really know with John Cena, that he would be over in Boston if that's where he's from. And if you saw the reaction tonight, you know, was this kind of a waste in Boston? I mean... Wouldn't this have been more effective somewhere where The Rock was a bit, what am I trying to say? Just that, I mean, it seems like it was just wasted because everyone was, I mean, they were chanting Tooth Fairy. Obviously the crowd was, at least a certain healthy amount of the crowd was with Cena.
Well, I have a reasoning, but we'll get there in a minute. We have a match to, because, you know, Rock made reference to Ben Franklin, John Hancock, and all that stuff. More penis references, just.
Yeah, I could have done without that many penis references.
Right.
We get it, okay?
Yeah. You think
you have big dick, Rock. Okay, we get that. Moving on.
I'm not even gonna say clip. Anyway.
You're welcome.
Oh, we're gonna hear that later.
Oh, I'm sure we will.
He's still got to edit the show and post it in the archives. That will come up later.
I fully expect that to be his alarm clock for the next week.
Out came R-Truth for a match. And take it away.
I have a bone to pick. I don't know who in the WWE locker room is so fucking incapable that they left Kane with, I don't know if any, I don't, Rock, I don't know if you noticed it, but somebody left a bruise, a very, very nasty bruise on Kane. Somebody's a dead man, I'm just saying, and I will find out who you are.
I was not looking at bruises, sorry, I'm not staring at Kane like that.
He had like this huge nasty bruise on his left bicep, and I was like, yeah, somebody's fucking dead, I'm just saying.
Sweetie, that's a job hazard. It happens. He gets bruised.
So I'm still in trouble, just saying.
If you got a hold of him, he would not only have bruises, he would have claw marks.
And bite marks, but that's different.
And bite marks.
Lindsay and I kind of we talked for a few minutes today when I got home from work about whether or not we would see him. We didn't think we would. We had pretty much written it off. And then when R-Truth came out and said something about Kane, you heard Four Ears perk up and all of a sudden show much, because we were talking about something else. We were like, we don't know which match this is next, but we don't care. And then R-Truth came out and said something about Kane, and then it was like, yeah, it was like all the animals at the beginning of The Lion King when they all go looking up. We heard something we liked, and then it was just a squee fest.
She squeed first because I was 2 seconds behind her, and she's like, oh my god, oh my god! And it's like, wait, is he coming out? Is he actually coming out? He's coming out! And then he walked out, and I'm like, it's like, squee! And the drooling just began.
For those not squeeing, Kane beat R-Truth in like 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And then Kane does his pyro, and then we hear voices in the head. They talk to him, and Randy Orton comes out. R-Truth holds the leg. RKO on Kane.
Which, I don't understand why Kane and Randy Orton couldn't be BFFs. I mean, Randy Orton hears voices. Kane is psychotic.
Kane hears voices. I would suggest that Randy Orton has many times over the year embraced the hate. So, yeah, this is called, Randy. I mean, this is called Mark Henry got injured, and Wade Barrett got injured. And
Drew McIntyre got fired.
And as usual, they go to the 16-year veteran. Glenn, we need a heel. All right, be right there. Okay. Again, being all reliable when he got through, but it was nice to see our man on TV. And then, Lindsay, I don't know if she's going to want to share, but Lindsay had a conversation on Twitter with, the father of destruction.
We'll get there, but we heard right. the GM chimed. We have another Twitter update.
Okay.
And I quote, "I don't know what happened tonight at Eve Marie Torres kissed me. I don't know what to think. Should I trust her?"
No. Will you? Yes, because she's going to lead you around by your dick for a while.
I dare you to tweet that at him.
Okay. Let me see.
Speaking of tweets, Lindsay.
I don't think it's that big of a deal, but I tweeted that Paul Bearer came on Twitter during Raw, and he was tweeting during Raw, and he said that, my son, or he was talking about Kane, and I tweeted him and said, on behalf of the fangirls, we thank you very much for giving us Kane. And he tweeted me back, fruit of my loins. And I tweeted him back saying that, if Kane ever wanted to have fruit of his loins, that Jackie was available, which made her face palm. And we got a response of napalm. And then he went to bed.
Yeah. So napalm, that to me sounded pretty bad. I don't know. I didn't know how to respond, so I just didn't.
Napalm was used in the Vietnam War to bomb the jungles.
Right, that's insane. That was a bit scary.
And what I did here was extend the Kane talk, because it only lasted 2 minutes on Raw. We gave it like 4 on the show. So.
I thought we actually did pretty good. We didn't mark out at the beginning.
I know, that's what I'm saying. We extended it where we should have. Because now we're going back to the promos.
Okay, I tweeted that to Zack Ryder.
Well done, I'm so proud.
Thank you.
I hope he replies. Doubt it, but you never know.
Yeah.
The GM is watching, so we may have another update.
Okay.
The anonymous GM?
The anonymous GM. He's watching. He's chiming in.
I want a raise.
Tim owns this place, and he's a Jew, so I don't see any raises coming.
Oh, God.
I can give him one.
Oh, God.
I wonder if he's even listening.
Okay, next time, for quick hits, she has to give his best qualities now.
You can't instruct the quick hits. Have you not gotten this one?
You can make suggestions.
I don't have to follow them.
No, but I'm just, I had to do it.
Unless it's Omega and it's incredibly inappropriate, and then it's okay.
What about for foreplay?
They're not, he's not on, whatever. He won't listen this week, so it doesn't matter. So we can't,
I mean,
do
that's not fair that I should be the only one to have to think of something good to say about Tim Stein on this network.
You're not. I've used that question before.
He's very articulate. There, are you happy?
I could say something.
Come on.
You know you're in a feisty mood tonight, Rock.
You're fighting it. Come on, let it out.
John Cena came to the ring and cut a promo.
You chicken.
I'm not taking the shot at him tonight. I have other ways. Anyway.
No, you want to.
So John Cena came to the ring, talked about how Rock's obsessed with breakfast cereals and his outfits and his knee pads and everything like that. I don't need a review, just thoughts.
It was a very good promo on John Cena. One of the things about it is that when The Rock came back, people were hating on John Cena so much that it was pretty much open season on him to make fun of just about everything about him. In the last few weeks, he's done a very good job of getting himself over, and all of a sudden, my guess would be, and I, you know, we have no way of knowing for sure, but the whole thing they probably had laid out for Rock Cena was that, you know, oh, you're going to make fun of him and he's not popular, so you're going to go over with that. Didn't quite work out that way. Cena's getting over.
You know, as strong as the pre-taped Rock promos were, it was very apparent that the in-person promo was not as strong. And I'm not entirely sure if that was intentional. I would almost bet it was, because you actually had Rock, again, get a little flustered this week. Especially when he was talking to Cena and he was trying to describe himself to Cena and Cena was egging him on.
Yeah.
You had Rock, again, get a little flustered.
The entire goal of this Rock-Cena feud leading up to WrestleMania is to put them on an even playing field. To have the crowd choose who they want to cheer for. Will it be The Rock or will it be John Cena? The chant tonight of Tooth Fairy? I have no inside information, no knowledge. I think it was a planted cheer chant. I think someone in the truck put that chant in the speakers, and then people caught on to it. Because we've never heard it, and I don't think we'll ever hear it again.
That's a possibility. I attribute it just to the fact that they were in Cena's hometown.
Yeah. And if they did do that, that's a very good plan.
Just call me crazy. I just have this feeling that they, as we all knew, they were in Cena's hometown, and Cena was supposed to be the one spotlighted tonight. Live. When they were live, it was the Cena show. He started the promo, he ended the promo. And that was well done. I just have a feeling he was helped, because it just seemed timed right.
Well, it could very well be, again, none of us know.
Right.
But that's just me throwing out my theory on it.
Okay. Works for me.
Works. Now, if you'd like to disagree with me, you can email us, or tweet us, or Facebook us, or snail mail us, or...
Snail mail us? They can snail mail us?
Hey, why not? They can leave a voicemail. Just don't go on for 5 minutes to tell me about your illness. I will not cool with that.
Oh my god.
That's not a shot.
I can't.
Okay.
I don't feel that.
Also, please don't ask us to declare your love for Mickey James. Just saying.
We're not about that. if you want to do it, man up and leave a voicemail. We'll play it. Just saying.
Wow.
I told you. Let's throw out some gloves.
I want to hear this when we go off the air.
Apparently, I missed a lot of good stuff coming into the network so late.
Yes, you did.
Yes, so. But
if I was unleashed, people would be ducking in front of cover, but I'm not allowed to do that.
Why?
I'm playing nice. I'm being the company man. Being nice.
Well, don't be the company man when we get off the air, because I want to hear this.
Anyway, The Rock says John Cena fears him. Fears that he's going to take everything away.
The only thing that John Cena had to be afraid of with The Rock at that moment was the lack of a breath mint. That was really scary.
I'm just curious, but they were saying that, yes, I will lose everything if I lose to you. What is he going to lose? I mean, other than, okay, yeah, you got your ass whooped by The Rock. But really, what does Cena lose by doing that? Cena, at this point, can take a loss from The Rock and still come out looking good.
Oh, it's just the same old bullshit it always is. You know, Shawn Michaels and Undertaker. Oh, if I can't beat you, then I'll retire. If I can't beat you, I don't deserve to be here. Da-da-da. It's ego.
I mean, I would say it's more The Rock has more to lose if he loses to Cena. Because it's you came in, you were gone for 10 years, you came in, you talked all this shit, and then you couldn't back it up. I mean, at least with Cena, we're used to him talking shit and then not backing it up.
You good, Rock?
I'm good. I'm good. The best part was, you know, when we broke it all down, you got rid of everything. The Rock, 260 pounds. He's going to kick his ass.
And rip his throat out.
Rip his throat out. John Cena's taking notes.
Roadhouse moment. I'm just saying that, yeah, you're 6, you know, whatever, and you're 200, whatever. I've seen Rey Mysterio pin Kane. So don't sit there and tell me about how tall you are and how big you are.
And I'm laughing for a whole other reason. About Rey Mysterio pinning Kane.
Which is a whole nother level of bullshit we're not going to get into right now.
But that just makes me laugh all the time. It's just good times in radio, I'm just saying.
Okay.
Yeah. Lindsay knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. So Cena took notes.
Which I thought was actually pretty clever. I will give him that. That was pretty... That was a nice little dig without having to say anything.
But yeah, Cena's not afraid. He has no other options. He's going to win at WrestleMania.
By the way, since we're talking about digging at The Rock for the wrist thing, did you guys see Ryder do it?
Yes.
Pretty funny.
That was good stuff. Follow me on... Follow me on Twitter, like me on Facebook, at facebook.com/wildtalkradio network and twitter.com/wildtalkradio. Chill. But that was Monday Night Raw, no 20-minute overrun.
Thank God. And I noticed a lot of people were bitching about that, but honestly, you know, after last week, particularly since the overrun lost ratings, what do you expect? I mean, WWE's not going to pay for a 20-minute overrun when they're going to lose money, essentially.
And it wasn't needed this week.
It wasn't, and it wasn't needed as well.
There was nothing. They started early enough to not need it. They didn't start at 11. They started at 10:50 with the promo. They got their 15 minutes in.
Although I will say this, I do miss the world champion, or the WWE champion, take your pick, closing the show. I will be happy when WrestleMania is over and we see, you know, provided CM Punk still has the belt after WrestleMania or whoever the world champion is, closing the show again, because honestly, putting your world and your WWE champion smack dab in the middle kind of sucks.
Yeah, we're all very anxious to see WrestleMania be over for a lot of different reasons. Just saying.
But if you're not going to WrestleMania, order it live on pay-per-view.
Or in our case, Magic Fairies.
What's a Magic Fairy?
The Rock's new movie.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's the cousin of the Tooth Fairy.
Oh, okay.
In any event, thoughts on how would you grade this week's edition of Monday Night Raw?
It had Kane. Kane was a win. I give it an A.
Overall, it was, I mean, it was a B or C. It was a solid show. It was, like I said, it was a little video heavy, so that I had a problem with. I would have liked to have seen more wrestling, but I mean, it did what it needed to do. It helped to continue to sell WrestleMania. Cannot wait to see Taker next week. Squee.
Yes.
Aiken has Undertaker.
The show got stolen at the 15-minute mark. And
yeah, I will say that putting Shawn Michaels... They could have closed with Shawn Michaels and Triple H, and that would have been fine. I get why they had to do it, because they did the Rock history lessons all through...
The show.
All through the show, but it really felt like opening with Shawn and Hunter was kind of a mistake. They should have either put that mid-show or towards the end. Because, you know, it's like you watch that promo and it's so fantastic. It's like, how the hell are you going to follow that? I really kind of felt bad for Santino and the whole lot that was out there at ringside. It's just, you've got to follow Shawn Michaels and Triple H.
But the crowd was hot, so it helped. It stayed hot. It did not die.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the good thing about it.
I just want to get this over with because there's other things to discuss.
There is? What?
Yes.
We have an announcement, don't we?
We have an announcement. I forgot all about making this announcement. We have a huge, exciting, major announcement to make, because...
Right, so Raw was great. We loved it.
Let's make this announcement.
Yes, please.
Let's make this announcement. Coming soon to the Rack. I can't remember the date. What date is it, Lindsay?
March 15th.
On March 15th, we're going to hear this.
Self high five.
Yeah.
After weeks of attempts to get a hold of Diamond Dallas Page's people, after buying the yoga, after using the yoga, coming to the Rack, it's DDP.
And he will be live. He will not be pre-taped.
L-I-V-E.
He will be live on the Rack on the 15th. That's 10 days from today. DDP live on our show Thursday. Just saying.
L-I-V-E spells live on the Rack. If you have a question you want asked, tweet us at Wild Talk Radio, at Lynn's Award, at Jackie Feist, or at WTR_Rack.
Nice show. Well done.
I'm so excited. Lindsay told me about this today. Well, I had food in my mouth, so I nearly choked. But, ultimately, it was great. I'm very excited. I mean, that was just the tip of the iceberg. It turned out to be a really great day for me. So I'm very, very, very excited for this. And there's going to be a lot of preparation this week.
Yes.
And if we cross our fingers, it's just the beginning.
Right. Yep.
But with that being said, let's wrap up this edition of the WTR Raw Post Show. And I'll let you two plug first.
Lindsay, go right ahead.
All right, well, you can follow me at Lins Ward, L-I-N-S-W-A-R-D, on Twitter. Just please do not ask me to profess your love for Mickie James or any other wrestler, because I only profess my love for Kane and The Undertaker, and the list goes on. You can also follow us at WTR_rack, and again, same rule applies, because I run that Twitter, too, so deal with it. Jackie?
Okay, you can find me on Twitter at Jackie Feist. Feist is spelled F-I-E-S-T. You can also, if you'd like us on the rack and you want to hear more of Lindsay and I, you can check out our podcast, which is called Triple Talk Wrestling Radio, which also includes Alan Wojcik, who is also here on Wild Talk Radio. We just got the latest episode up starring Jersey Girl, and so definitely check it out. Triple Talk Wrestling Radio at thehistoryofwwe.com.
Speaking of Alan Wojcik, he had two shows this weekend live, one from WSU's Meet and Greet in New York. So check it out in the archives. And he had an interview with Rob Feinstein on Sunday, so check him out in the archives. And he is live tomorrow night, 9 p.m. Eastern. We will have, from Kayfabe Commentary, Sean Oliver. We will have Eugene Nick Dinsmore on the program. And soon to be WWE Hall of Famer Ron Simmons will be on the show.
Awesome.
Wednesday night, it's just another goddamn wrestling show at 8:30 p.m. Eastern. If you have the balls, listen to it. Just no matzo balls this week.
Boom, ching.
Thursday?
It is the rack. 11 p.m. Eastern, Lindsay and I squeeing over Kane, talking a little pro wrestling and God knows what else. It's gone from Kane to See No Evil masturbation to God knows what. If you're feeling brave, check it out Thursday.
Saturday night, midnight-ish, it's CB Radio. Join myself, Rob Parks, and Subway. Hopefully Rob will wake up this weekend to do the show.
I was going to say, what happened to him this week?
We heard from last text message was 11:30. Around 2:30, I get a text message saying, the last I looked at my clock, it was 11:30. Whoops. Sorry, Rob. I'll be here next week.
Will he be sober?
Most likely, yes. Because he'll be coming home from the dome. So, he should be, you know, good. And then Sunday night, it's Wrestle Talk Radio at 10 p.m. Eastern with Tim Stein Omega, as in whoever, maybe Spug, if he's healthy enough to do the show. Or we may call in the ladies, who knows. Wrestle Talk Radio, Sunday night, WTR Sunday night. Check it out, 10 p.m. Eastern. If you're in the Calgary, Alberta area, go to CanadianAllPro.com and get ticket information for this Thursday's event, Championship Madness. Follow him on Twitter at CanadianAllPro. Follow us on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio, and like us on Facebook at Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. We'll be back next Monday night for the more of the WTR Raw Post Show. That's what will happen when Shawn Michaels and The Undertaker go face to face.
We will squee, that's what will happen.
That's a spoiler. God.
No, we will implode, that's what will happen.
Spoiler.
Word warning, sorry.
Anyway, for Lindsay Ford and Jack Feist, I'm Sarah Rock. We'll see you next week, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Word life. This is basic thugonomics. Word life. I'm untouchable, but I'm forcing you to feel me. WildTalkRadio.com